Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Decisions to make moving forward. Not as many, I think, you know, tough decisions this year, looking at it, which I'm thankful for. But obviously, as we look out, we'll have some tough decisions after next season. So a year from now, we'll have some tough choices and decisions to make regarding players.
So that was Eric DaCosta, famously this offseason.
On Easy Street.
Yes.
On Easy Street.
Everything that worked out last year was going to work out this year.
Till next winter. Yeah. Talk to me in 2026.
He was watching safeties. And obviously things did not work out when he ran it back, and they missed the playoffs, and now John Harbaugh's out of a job. By the way, Eric DaCosta and Steve Bisciotti will be meeting with the media on Tuesday at 2 o'clock. First time Steve Bisciotti meets with a whole media since after the 2017 season. He did meet with four members of the media during the offseason of 2022. Let's start with that before we get to Eric, Jason. Just your thoughts on Steve speaking, because you've been saying for
it's
a while.
It's about time.
Yeah.
It is about time. There have been obvious myriad other situations that screamed out for the billionaire, the guy who makes the most off this franchise, to let people know why they were doing what they were doing, where his head was, where they're going. And he abstained, and he could abstain no longer. He's got a mess on his hands, and he's got a lot of fixing to do, and it goes beyond a head coach, and it's going to be the totality of this coaching staff. It's going to be what, if anything, changes on the personnel side. I mean, maybe we'll learn a little bit more about his personal timeline. I mean, he's let it be known that he will sell, and he'll sell sooner rather than later. I mean, he never addressed Dick Cass leaving. He didn't address Justin Tucker's situation. I mean, we had a pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't opine on that. Feel like he needed to answer questions about anything.
He hasn't had a press conference like this since Lamar Jackson was drafted.
Nope.
Following the 2017 season. And we kept saying, and it still rings true, like, you either keep Harbs and you got to talk, or you get rid of Harbs and you got to talk. He was made majority owner of the Ravens in 2004. This will mark just his second hire in that time. So it's crazy to think about. And so much has happened, and there's so many questions that need to be asked. And we had Morgan Atson on at Fox 45 in the 3 o'clock hour, and I think she laid out a lot. Why haven't you spoken all of these years? Are you going to speak more regularly? Like, how much longer are you going to own this?
All fair questions.
Why didn't you shake up your front office?
Yeah, there's so many questions that need to be asked. But going back to where we started, what's kind of, I don't want to say funny, but Eric DaCosta, when these season-ending press conferences typically happen, it's John Harbaugh and Eric. And
yes.
We hear from John 3 or 4 times a week.
So he never says anything.
Exactly. None of the questions go to John. They all go to Eric, because the last time we've heard Eric talk was, what, the draft? Where this go-around, Eric's not getting any questions. Well, I shouldn't say any, but he's not getting many questions, because all of the questions, and
Steve,
rightfully so, are going to be directed at Steve Bisciotti. But that being said, there's a lot of fair questions that should go Eric DaCosta's way.
Including the philosophy and the way he built a roster, because it doesn't look like it's working. And as we saw down the stretch this season, their defense, he put all his money in the secondary. Secondary stunk. And they couldn't get to the quarterback, which made a bad secondary look worse. And that's the way they built it.
I mean, look, there's a lot that's under Eric's purview, under his jurisdiction. He gets how he allocates his budget, what he wants to spend on internal free agent candidates, how quickly they approach those guys, their ability to get it done in some of the more tricky situations. why they pay old players as much as they pay old players, not self-scouting, knowing when to let a guy leave, when you got the last best out of him, when to stop trying to exact more value out of them, the wholesale abstaining from the first 3 weeks of NFL free agency, hoarding comp picks, how they structure their contracts still. Why a Lamar extension wasn't even brought up as anything to consider a year ago when the Buffalo Bills are making headway on another one. Like there's a lot that goes into overseeing all things business of and roster of Ravens football, and the failings have been sweeping.
Everyone needs to look internal. Everyone in this organization needs to look inside, because this past year was a colossal failure. And John Harbaugh had to wear it, and ultimately he lost his job because of it and prior years. But Eric's still here, and now the pressure is on Eric. He's going to be a part of this process and bringing in this next head coach. He's going to play a huge hand in trying to get the Ravens out of this mess. And he's going to have to operate much differently than he has, because the way he's been operating hasn't been good enough, because they've only had one conference championship, that appearance. They haven't had much playoff success. They only have 3 playoff wins since Eric DaCosta took over as GM. Have there been really good teams? Sure. But have there been deficiencies in similar areas in those good teams? Absolutely. 2023, when they were the number one seed, they were rotating both of their tackles. That's not good enough. Like, the pass rush, yeah, they led the league in sacks, but the pass rush win rate and all that. 2019, the defense wasn't that good. That's the dirty little secret, that the offense was incredible, mm-hmm. and they dominated time of possession, and it inflated the numbers. It's a lot of the same shortcomings that we've been talking about from a roster-building standpoint year after year after year, where you have to change. You have to adapt and evolve.
I brought this up earlier. One of the things that I think they need to reevaluate is the way that they clutch onto these comp picks, because there's less draftable players now. Until college football changes, when these kids that aren't locked first-round picks can stay at school and make $2, $3, $4 million, that they're going to stay in school. So now that the pool isn't as deep, and your quote-unquote middle-round finds aren't there like they used to be.
There's a lot of course corrections that need to take place. You just think about basically the case that he will have made to Bisciotti is, me and the players aren't the biggest problem. It's how they're utilized. And you think about the people who leave the building. Denard Wilson immediately has options for multiple D coordinator positions. Anthony Weaver immediately has options for multiple D coordinator positions. Wink Martindale has immediate options. Greg Roman sits out for a year, ends up with Harbaugh's brother. Might be going to an AFC championship game or something like that. We'll see with Herbert this year. Todd Monken's going to be coveted on a lot of people's staff.
Might go with John.
Harbs will fight tooth and nail to try to bring, like, you can't tell me all these guys. Now look, Harbs had flaws. The secondary coaches.
Yes, totally.
Forster keeping those guys so long. I mean,
strength and conditioning
the stupid
guy.
Yeah, the strength. Like, I mean, there's a lot. COVID. Like, again, like, yes, but those guys got gigs. People didn't think they were useless. Like, they had to be helping call some value out of this. And there's not that many McDonald's around. So, like, your roster's got to be good. Like, your roster's got to be good. Mm-hmm. And their rosters haven't been good enough. And the idea that it's just been this Bobo coach or that Bobo coach that you know, is keeping Eric DaCosta from meeting his manifest destiny of having all the crap they sell you in the media about how great his rosters are actually bear fruit in January. They better be doing soul searching.
Coming up next, we want to hear from the people. 410-583-1057. What do you think? You've had a little time to marinate on this. You've seen reports of interviews that the Ravens have already requested to talk to people. They've already interviewed Vance Joseph. Where are you on the next head coach of the Baltimore Ravens? 410-583-1057. We hear from...
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No. Anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The people next. Ravens have already interviewed Vance Joseph. They've requested interviews for numerous people, including, is it Davis Mills? Davis Webb? Is it Davis Webb? I think it's Davis Webb.
Yeah,
Mills Davis Mills, the quarterback with the big neck.
The crazy
he's on TV
neck.
Right now. Cliff Kingsbury, they requested today. Anthony Weaver, former coach. I'm sure more are to come. The betting favorites, we did back bounce back fallback earlier. It's Brian Flores, Clint Kubiak, and Jesse Minter, correct?
Yep.
So those names are out there. Do you like any of them? Who else would you like to see be the next coach of the Baltimore Ravens? 410-583-1057. Let's go to Trippy. Trippy, you're on the fan.
Hey, what's up with y'all? First of all, man, I don't like none of them coaches y'all just named if it ain't the dude, the OC from Seattle, right?
Clint Kubiak?
Yeah, but look, I got a ball to pick with Jason. Hey, Jason, yo. Come on, bro. Get my man EDC. Lighten up with my man EDC, bro. Like,
sorry, man.
You acting like, I'm saying, bro, this man been here since day one. He became the GM at the Lamar rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, and I mean, from his stuff, maybe he was drafting players based off of what Hobbs want. Like,
No. We're not doing that. We're not doing that here, brother. We're keeping it. He's got final say over the roster. Like, I'm not.
All right, watch this. All right. He made a mistake, right, with the trenches, but we're not going to act like Ozzie ain't make mistakes either. How many wide receivers Ozzie did drafted and none of them was up to par?
I never saw Ozzie put together horse bleep defenses like this year after year. Ozzie defenses in the fourth quarter can't get off the field against bad teams.
That's still Hobbs though, bro. You know why? Because Hobbs.
We're gonna find out.
His coaching staff.
It was all the coaching staff. We're gonna find out.
Just lighting up on my man.
I keep it real, man. Trust me, he's gotten a pass everywhere forever. Forever. Yeah. He was the glue guy. He was holding it all together when Ozzie was calling all the shots. I'm judging on what's happened since he sat in the big chair. He's got a lot of Mike Elias in his game. Maybe he'll turn it around.
410-583-1057. Chris is in Baltimore. Chris, you're on the fan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. If you have a little patience with me, I have three questions.
Okay.
So the important months, I believe, for the NFL starts in February. So with you got, I think, 16 players up for renewal contracts. You got a new head coach and so forth. What of the front office is divided into doing what? Like, what is the GM, Eric DaCosta, Ozzie, Sashi, like, what are they all focusing on for the next starting in February? Because I know you got to get a head coach at least by February.
I mean, Ozzie's there to help Eric and do what Eric wants him to do, look at particular players, bounce advices off him, strategies, what have you. Sashi oversees business operations and stadium expansion, different ways to connect to the fan base, different new revenue streams, all that stuff. Eric DaCosta oversees every part of football operations, and he has departments under him, scouting, analytics.
So
you've got salary cap / negotiation, and everyone under that umbrella reports to him, and he ultimately reports to Steve directly. You could say kind of through Sashi. I mean, when Dick Cass was there, definitely through Dick Cass. And so you've got the coaching side. Like, think of a tree, like a what do they call it? Like a flow chart, right? And you've got Steve at the top and Sashi, and then these three branches.
Let me interrupt. So meaning like, of course, Bashadi and DaCosta would be focusing on the head coach, or would that would be the Bashadi and Sashi Brown?
Well,
and then who will be more focused on renewing the contracts?
Appreciate
well, they'll have people like Nick Mattia. There's guys who are full-time negotiators and salary cap overseers. Now, they take their marching orders from Eric, yeah. And Eric still gets involved, depending on the relationship with the agent or how long the player's been here. Some players just represent themselves. Eric's involved in that. But, like, that's the interesting thing, though, that he brings up. Because they didn't just bring in someone who had no... When they made the move to Sashi Brown, the guy was an NFL GM.
Mm-hmm.
So, will Steve trust his opinion on these things? Because, hey, you've been a part of coaching searches before. You've been a GM before. Like, I know Sashi, like, when all this went down, we heard nothing from Steve. We got a press release, and, you know, Sashi's like, oh, I'm just here to do business. And mm-hmm. Eric's like, I'm just... But what happens when Sashi's talking to Steve and Eric's not around?
I don't know
how those conversations go. What happens when Eric's talking, like, and vice versa? But, I mean, they have pretty fair delineations of labor, and these guys all have their sort of fiefdoms. But Steve's not in the office all the time. And when Steve's not in the office, Sashi Brown is basically the de facto owner.
410-583-1057. Let's go to Andy. Andy, you're on the fan.
Yes, sir. I love Harbaugh. I really hate seeing him go. But I'm thinking, why not Todd Monken? Because, quite frankly, he has a relationship with the offense already, including Lamar. And it'll be a different spin than we've had with John Harbaugh on there. Why not consider him?
Well, because the owner wanted him out of the building as the OC. Yeah. So I'd say that's the ultimate non-starter for a head coach.
There's also been some reporting that Harbs was kind of the buffer between Lamar and Monk. So, like, that, I don't know. I think Lamar would like to hear a different voice. Yes. I love Monk.
There'll be a different offensive voice, and Todd Monken will no longer be in this building. And Todd Monken wasn't going to be in this building no matter what. But John Harbaugh wasn't going to be the guy to fire him.
Correct. Let's go to Austin. Austin, you're on the fan.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey there.
Yeah, so Brian Flores has got to be the next head coach of the Baltimore Ravens, and there's two main reasons I believe this. One is the defense. How many times are we going to see fourth quarter leads, game after game, season after season, us blow fourth quarter leads? So a defensive-minded head coach is the next head coach of the Baltimore Ravens. And second to that, we don't need an offensive-minded head coach. We need an offensive coordinator.
Agreed.
For one, Lamar Jackson he's not a timed passer. He's not someone who benefits necessarily from plays that are schemed up and timing passing down the field, right? Lamar Jackson creates his own magic. So we don't need someone that's going to control and micromanage Lamar Jackson. We need a defensive head coach that can focus on fixing the defense.
Interesting. I will say that second touchdown to Zay Flowers was schemed up by Todd Monken. That was a hell of a play.
That's what we're opening the show tomorrow.
What they need to do is get the best collection of smart football minds in the building as they can. And you're trying to put a whole staff together. Look, part of the reason that we think Harbs maybe started getting stale here or losing his fastball is some of his underling hires were not good.
Yeah.
Zach Orr was not. He had lots of good options there. I have a hard time thinking any of the other ones wouldn't have done better than Zach Orr ended up doing. DPs couldn't prop him all the way up, and Pagano couldn't prop him all the way up. So, like, you're only as good as the totality of your staff. So the goal of this process should be, to get the best head coach, but you also want to know, who are you bringing with you? Who's your coordinator going to be? Who's your quarterback going to be? Quarterback coach going to be? Are you sure you're getting those guys? Let me check their contract status. Let me vet them. Let me try to bring some of those guys in for interviews if we're able to. And some of the names you're hearing and some of the names that they'll interview, it's under the auspices of a head coach. But that's why I was bringing to people like Josh McCown. Maybe you talk to Josh McCown. You talk to Scott Milanovich. Maybe you decide this might be a good guy to have as my quarterback coach, and we'll make him whatever. What's he making in the CFL, coaching? A couple million bucks? We'll make him assistant OC slash. I mean, I don't know. But it's about the entire staff, and that should be the goal.
Let's grab Pat in Pasadena. Pat, you're on the fan.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Hey there.
Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Listen, nobody seems to be talking about Lamar helping on finding a coach and stuff. I hope that we're not getting in a situation where it's like LeBron who decides who's going to be the coach or not.
No.
Because Lamar has no cred as far as winning any Super Bowls or even a playoff. He's won one playoffs. So I really find it hard to believe that someone's going to allow him – to be a big part of this finding a coach.
I don't know. Who's,
I don't know anybody saying that. Yeah.
Now look, you get down to some finalists. One of these guys wants to bring so-and-so for his OC.
Yeah.
Lamar might talk to that guy. Yes. Hey, we three finalists. They all have different OCs. What do you think of these guys? But no, he's
not sitting in on the interviews.
This idea that Lamar Jackson picks players and Jair Alexander, well, that goes on Lamar's ledger, not the GM's ledger, and all this stuff. It's poppycock. It's ridiculous. He's not management.
Coming up next, time to look at the Ravens roster and what are the six biggest roster needs? Six-pack time next
year. I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You're on the fan. Six-pack time. Six-pack sponsored by the Good Feet Store. Come and try the Good Feet feeling today. Comfort, energy, performance, and pain relief at the Good Feet Store. Go to goodfeet.com for more details. And it's our six-pack of six biggest roster needs. But with Ben, let's get started.
Number six.
Unbelievable that we're back here, but wide receiver. It's Zay Flowers and nothing else. Like, I don't expect Rashad Bateman to be on this roster a year from now. DeVontaze Walker, okay. LaJonte Wester was not a success. I wanted Tez Johnson. He looks pretty good in Tampa. Alas, I put wide receiver at six.
We're going to have different lists, and it's by design. Because we know what the positions in need are, so we're going to cover that. But I approach them more holistically, like roster needs in terms – this needs to change in how you put together rosters. And at six, I put learn when to punt on value. Chasing value all the time when you're not the best front office in the league and you're not close to it will continue to lead you down the same roads where injured guys stay injured, small guys stay small, overachievers stay overachievers, hoarding comp, like this pursuit of value uberalis. In that, well, if we get this value, then we're going to make better advantage of it than anybody else. That's not how you put together a blue chip roster. And they also need to learn when to punt on value in that we got all the value we can get out of Kyle Van Noy, out of Marlon, and learning when to punt on those types of players. That needs to change massively moving forward in this front office.
Number five.
Number five roster need is they need to make contract extensions about future upside, not about politics, and who's your agent and who we can scorn or burn. They need to get out of the business of what they just did to Isaiah Likely, and it just happened. But these moves, these in-season moves, these moves that are about optics, these moves are about the kind of BS that motivates them or what's going to look good to my buddies in the media. Like it's gotta stop. I mean, think of all the inconsequential, stupid things they've done since the last time they've had real meaningful negotiations with Lamar Jackson, negotiations that should have been going on in earnest around this time a year ago. They've got to have a better understanding about urgency and the timing of the business of football. And what they just did with Andrews tells me they still don't get it.
I like the way we're doing this because, Bowen, this is going to be very difficult for you because I am going to go with the six positions in need, but I don't think he's wrong either. So do you go with the holistic approach or do you go with the actual positions? I think
the listener's going to get a lot of different stuff here, and that's ultimately who we're serving. Sorry, Bowen.
Yeah.
I don't really care who wins this. Yeah. I'm not in tomorrow, so I wanted to get some of this out today.
Yeah, go for it.
So my five is another one I can't believe we're here. Tight end. A year ago, we were talking about them having the greatest tight end room in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Isaiah Likely's gone. Dennis Pitta.
Mark Andrews?
No, Mark Andrews is here.
No, Likely, Kohler.
Kohler is a free agent. I don't know. He's coming back, and he's the third tight end anyway. Like, it's Mark Andrews, who ain't even close to what he was 2 years ago. That's your tight end. You need tight end help.
Number four.
Stop me if you've heard this before. I can't believe we're here. Cornerback. Like, they put so much asset allocation into cornerback. I like Nate Wiggins more than Jason does, but I have to admit he wasn't good down the stretch. Marlon Humphrey looks cooked. Chidobe Awuzie, he's that's another example of Jason. Do you say I got my value out of him and move on or go back to him again because he gets hurt all the time? So, like, what's TJ Tampa? I don't know. You got those two kids that got hurt in training camp. I don't know what either one of them is going to be. They need cornerback help.
Four is they need to reshuffle their analytics department. And look, we may never know about it. Steve will know, and that's all that really matters. They don't announce that, a lot of that stuff. They try to keep it under wraps. But clearly, the groupthink that's going on between their numbers crunchers ain't good enough, ain't close to good enough.
I will admit, I was interpreting it like Ken did.
That's how I was when I put it out. But then the more I thought about it this morning, I'm like, I'm just going to – because those lists are not going to be that different.
What?
So we get that out there, but I also
I like what you're doing, too.
Honestly, even redoing it, like, a week or two – I mean, we have a long offseason ahead of us. The six philosophies that need to change. That's kind of what you were thinking. But, yeah, it's entertaining nonetheless.
We're doing a six-pack of stuff. And, Beltway Ben, let's continue.
Number three
is they need to have a roadmap for the first week of free agency. You can't just abstain. You have to be able to build a roster. And everybody, Patrick Mahomes makes a lot of money. Like, Joe Burrow makes a lot. Like, people, like, this idea that because we have an expensive quarterback, there's no free agents out there of the first tier or the second tier, whoever makes sense for us. They need to get together with Bisciotti and have a roadmap for well-crafted targets early in free agency. They should be able to do one of those a year. It's ridiculous that we just pretend those first 10 days don't exist. That's a joke.
My three is the defensive line, specifically interior defensive line. If Nnamdi Madubuike never plays another football game, which we don't think he's going to play another football game, I like Travis Jones, but Travis Jones is a really good complementary player. They have nothing else beyond him on that defensive line.
Number two.
Their offensive line stinks. It's terrible. And, like, Ronnie's okay, but how much longer is he going to be upright? Roger Rosengarten regressed. The guards are awful. We saw it week after week after week. And the guards were so bad, they marginalized the center because the center is small. Other than that, everything was fine.
It's weird how some of these have dovetailed, even though you guys had no idea what I was doing. And I went rogue.
No.
it's working. So his O-line goes along with my two. They need to overhaul their core beliefs about roster construction and make it about building from the inside out again. It's O-line and D-line. It's not just old school Neanderthal. It's still a Neanderthal game. I'm sorry. I got news for you. And if you can't win with your bullies against their bullies, no one's going to care about how great you think your fourth corner is, or, you know, that Eddie Jackson was too talented for the assignment. Like, no. That part needs to change immediately overnight.
Number one.
The number one thing I think needs to change is something I've been asking the Orioles to do forever. The idea that this is just Eric's little fiefdom needs to end. Like, whatever title you want to give a Marty Herney type or a Bobby DePaul type, there needs to be someone with a different background who's not of this analytics age in that building. And you could tell me Ozzie's too close to Eric, like that whole relationship. Someone who's not from their cocoon, who has done some things as an NFL evaluator and general manager, even if he just sits in the office a couple days a week and just reports to Steve on the side, there's got to be some checks and balances about, if Steve ain't going to be in the building every day, and he's not going to be, it can't be Sashi Brown the only one there making sure stuff's being done. Why isn't his team more active on the waiver wire? Who are we working out on Tuesdays? Who should be working? There needs to be checks and balances. There needs to be an old school analyst evaluator, you know, like how Harbaugh tried to bring Bobby into the building all those times and Eric said over my dead body. That stuff needs to happen. You'd be a better football team if that happened. Maybe you'd have a better roster if that happened.
My one is, and some of this could be holistic to speak to Jason's language, but they need to reevaluate the way they think about pass rush. And they can tell us all they want that they nobody appreciates pass rush. Well, you don't pay for pass rush, and you don't have any pass rush. And these pass rushers, they get killed in the run game as well. They are getting destroyed because their edge rushers stink, and they need to change the way they evaluate it.
That's a big W for the Ginger Gorilla. Way to take down the Ginger
for
Gorilla.
All
there
you go. We're all winners.
Hooray.
Yay!
We will come back, get the text of the day, preview tomorrow's show, get you ready. Is it Westwood One Radio going
yeah.
in? Are we broadcasting the football game? Are we doing that? Do you know?
The college game? No, yeah, I don't think so.
Okay, then it's just so. Westwood One Radio here on the Fan.
We got
six.
Boomer and Valenti tomorrow?
That's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow. Yeah, that's tomorrow.
Quickly, before we get to text of the day, Ole Miss and Miami, who you like tonight and why?
I like Miami just to win the game. I don't know about any points. I think the dominant unit in this game is Miami's defensive line. I think they're going to be able to play bully ball. I think the quarterback is going to have difficult finding passing lanes. I think he's going to be hemmed in. I think they'll use that Georgia film to learn a lot. And I just think the SEC was kind of overrated this year. And I think it's going to be a different assignment against this Miami D-line tonight.
I'm pulling for Ole Miss. You mentioned it prior to the show, Ken. I just think it would be an awesome story. And even though Lane Kiffin would profit from it, it still would be really fun.
And it would hurt him, his ego. Yeah, I think Miami wins, but I'm rooting for Ole Miss. Let's get the text of the day.
Check 1-2. Check.
Text of the day comes from Noah in Towson, who says, any idea of how long this process will play out? Seems like we won't know the next head coach for a few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't been down this road in a long time. I mean, there's some guys they're going to want to talk to that if their teams keep winning in the playoffs, you might have to wait till the bye week to get an audience with them.
Well,
Super Bowl bye week, depending how far they go.
I read it. They hired Harbaugh 20 days after they fired Billick.
Well, and hypothetically, the name that you've been bringing up for weeks, Jason, Jesse Minter, they upset the Patriots. They keep playing a couple more weeks. Yeah.
He's not available.
You're going to have to wait for him.
Yeah. Bone, what do we have on tomorrow's show?
Tomorrow's show. We have Mark Ross on, NFL Network, former exec for the Giants. We have Disco Prisco, Prisco. We have Joel Corey on, former longtime NFL agent. He put out a piece on CBSSports.com about Lamar Jackson contract talks. What are the options for the Ravens? And Jerry Coleman.
Aloysius.
He's covered the Ravens since their inception.
I think he was at the birth of John Harbaugh.
Trunk full of John Harbaugh t-shirts.
The entirety of John Harbaugh will get Jerry's thoughts on John.
Jason, you're going to see Derek Queen tomorrow.
We see Derek Queen. The Pelicans are playing the Wizards. Ben, is Trae Young expected to play in this game?
There's some talk he's not expected to play this season.
He's not expected to play all year.
Yeah.
Expected to play all year?
There's talk about that.
Yeah, there's talk that he might not play much, if at all, this season.
Listen, on the trade, like there's a lot of Wizards fans who are frustrated this is going to kill the tank. Just like all of us who know the deal. So does that front office. Like, they didn't trade for him saying, you know what, we're gonna lose the top eight lottery protected pick. Like, no, they're adding him for next year. Yeah. This isn't for this year.
Yeah, they want that McCollum.
Well, McCollum was their number one scorer, that's going to help them tank.
Yeah, they want to get him out of here. Yeah, that's absolutely true. Yeah, the reports are that he's not going to play much, if at all. And he hadn't been playing recently. I think he's got a quad issue.
Yeah, well, he came back for a minute.
Yeah, so that is it for old Trae Young. He'll look good sitting on the bench in Washington.
All right, I hope Derek Queen goes off tomorrow night.
Me too. That'll be fun.
From where we're sitting, I think we're not that far from where they walk the tunnel.
When the
team comes out, I'm going to try to say, you think Willard's a bald rat? I'm going to try to see.
I'm
definitely going to.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That's
Ben,
awesome.
I couldn't live with myself I couldn't live with Ben. So
you need to make sure.
I'm going to try to get a rise out about the bald rat.
Yeah. That is it for us. Westwood One Radio coming up next. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 here on The Fan.